chapter 15. We're going to be in the New Testament this morning rather than back in 1 Samuel. Pick up there again next week. But John chapter 15. Thought I might do something a little bit different, perhaps special in honor of the church's anniversary. We are glad to have some folks visiting with us today for the first time. And I'd like to introduce them if I could. I've got Angelica Ortiz, if you'd wave to everybody. It's good to have you with us this morning. And Margaret, if you'd wave to everybody, if you would, please. Good to have you here today. And then this is the title she has been given, Nathan's mom. Amen. And it's good to have you with us this morning as well. I don't think I've missed anybody, but it's good to have you all here in God's house and celebrating the 13th anniversary of the founding of Vision Baptist Church. I want to look at some things in John chapter 15, if we could, and remind you at the beginning of the message that 13 years ago this Sunday, which actually would have been the third rather than the first of the month, but anyway, 13 years ago this Sunday, God moved a group of folks to organize and establish Vision Baptist Church. And you got to ask yourself the question, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Talk about that at the end of the message, but I want to ask you to look at John chapter 15 with me if you would. And I want to show you some things here that the Lord has laid on my heart this week pertaining to our church and its mission. And in John chapter, if I said 15, I am mistaken. It is John chapter 5. And the problem I have is I wrote 15 on my handout, and I shouldn't have done that, or my notes. It's John chapter 5. I know the passage well, I just can't remember the number. John chapter 5. We're going to begin reading here in just a moment in verse 1. John chapter 5. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, John chapter 5. The Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we think of the words of that song that was just sung. The idea that someone could see the Lord Jesus Christ in us, and it's a convicting song. We have to ask ourselves, what do people see in us? Do they see Christ, or do they see something else? Would even be a question we could ask as a church. When people visit our church, do they see Christ or do they see something else? Lord, I pray that they would see Christ. And I pray that today that you'd help us as a local church, as a group of folks that have now for 13 years been meeting to serve you and to worship you. God, give us this morning a meeting with the Holy Spirit, a discernment from the Holy Spirit. And as individuals, help us to hold ourselves up to the light of the Word of God, and examine ourselves and consider our place in this valley and in this ministry and in this ministry that you've given us. Lord, I pray you would bless each visitor here today, give them a special blessing for being with us, and I pray for folks that are away from us today that you'd care for them, bring them back safely. And we ask you now to bless our church. We pray, bless our time. Use this time for your honor and your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. John chapter 15 and verse 1 points out that it was a time for feasting. There was a feast in Jerusalem, and we all enjoy those kinds of times. Most people would be very happy in an occasion like this to go to this feast. We all like to eat. I can't wait for Mark to report back on his chili dog feast that he has. And he and I discussed yesterday. He said, you know, Pastor, I can take steak or I can take chili dogs. I like them both the same. And I thought, good, because chili dogs are a lot cheaper. Amen. And but I like chili dogs, too. I enjoy getting together with family and eating. I enjoy special times. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas and so on. And, you know, we work hard and we look for that opportunity to just gather with friends and family and enjoy life and enjoy a time of rest. And it's the kind of time we all like. It's a happy time. It's a time that we can be together. And folks, the Lord Jesus Christ has nothing against a feast. It was a time of feasting. But when Jesus went up to Jerusalem, he did not focus on the feast. He went to, and we'll see this in a minute, another place. It's described in verse 2. The Bible says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. That's not the kind of place where you have a feast. We're not so familiar with sheep markets as we are perhaps with a feedlot for cattle, but when you have a large number of sheep in one place, you have an odor, you have a noise. You have, especially if these sheep are being purchased for food, you have evidence of slaughter. Not the kind of place you would go for a feast. And so we think of this reminder of the fact that it's near the sheep market as just pointing something out, and that is that the pool was not the focus of people's attention. It was kind of out of the way. It was off to the side. It was some place where folks would not have gone during the feast. They would have stayed away from there and gone somewhere else perhaps. But near this sheep market, there was this pool. In verse 2, it says in the Hebrew tongue, it is called Bethesda, and it has five porches. Now, that word Bethesda is important. It means house of mercy. And the reason there were five porches there, amongst other things, was that four porches wouldn't have been enough, three porches wouldn't have been enough, because there were, as the Bible tells us in verse 3, a great multitude of, and the term the Bible uses here is impotent folk, people that cannot help themselves, people that are blind, people that are halt, which means that they cannot walk, people that are withered, which means that their body is crippled somehow. And they're waiting for the moving of the water. Now, let those first three verses just sink in for a minute. It's a time of feasting. It's a time when many people are enjoying life and enjoying the opportunity to be with others and the blessings that they can have. But right in the midst of this time, there's another place. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of need. It's a place where people are waiting for something unusual to happen. Now, if you were using any other version of the Bible except the Authorized Version, one of two things is going to happen here. If you're using something like an NIV or an RSV or something like that, you're not going to see verse 4. They've taken that verse out. If you're using another version, there may be a footnote there that says that this verse shouldn't be there. But let me tell you something. This is the key to understanding the entire passage. Look at verse 4 and see what the Bible has to say. It says, the reason that people are waiting is because an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, watch the picture. It's very clear. In the midst of a time of feasting, there's a group of people that are gathered together in a place, and they're waiting. And they're watching the water. They do not know when, but they have perhaps heard, maybe some of them have even seen a time when, I don't know if the angel was visible or not, but it was such a manifestation that the water was stirred. And then those people in those five porches that were there trying to stay out of the sun perhaps, or maybe at night trying to stay awake just in case the angel came during the dark hours. When that water was troubled, you would have seen this enormous rush towards the water. Everybody realizing there's a chance I'll get there first, and struggling and climbing over one another and screaming and all the things that would go with that. And somebody, one person, would make it to the water first and would be healed. And then slowly the rest of the people, realizing that it was too late for them, they would climb back to their place, perhaps try to find their possessions, which they had tossed aside, hoping to get to the water first. And those people would have gone back once again to wait and wait and wait for that actually very remote possibility, that distant hope that something would allow them to be the first in the water the next time the waters were troubled. It is such a clear picture of the way many people are in the world today. There are people, we meet them all the time, and sin has ravaged them. Sin has taken its toll, and they have paid the price. Some have fallen to, for example, some addiction of some kind, and they're trying to escape that addiction. Some have simply done what they can in their life to gain pleasure, and they come to the end of that road and find there's nothing there. Some are, in fact, just waiting for an answer. What's going to happen to me when I die? These people that have this hope, and it's such a distant, such an obscure hope, it's really almost no hope at all. We hear people all the time that'll say things, well, maybe when I die, God will judge me and find me good enough to step into eternity and be saved, when the Bible makes it very clear that there's none righteous, no, not one. The reason these people haven't found the answer yet is because they need someone to get them to Jesus. They need to hear the truth in the Word of God. And you and I have two choices in this life. We can be the people at the feast, or we can go to the pool. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to Jerusalem during the time of the feast, he went to the pool. Let's look at some things we're going to see here in the passage as to what happened as a result of that, and perhaps some things we can apply to ourselves as well. This place called the House of Mercy, a great number of people suffering. You can almost picture them in your mind, the different kinds of people, some horribly misfigured, some that simply couldn't see, and all of them equally desperate, hoping that maybe they would be the one. I need to remind you of something. As the allegory continues, there was a time when you and I were in their midst. And I'm not talking about as a deliverer, but as someone waiting to be delivered. You're here today, and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There was a day when you were just like these people. You were waiting for the truth. You were looking for the answer. You didn't quite know what was coming, but you hoped for the best, and you had this distant, almost non-existent hope, and you were looking and waiting, and maybe something would happen. You weren't quite sure what. We were all there at one time in our life. Somebody came to us. These people, they're waiting. And while they're waiting, they're not at the feast. They can't afford to go to the feast. They've got to stay at the pool in case that angel comes. They are waiting for that rare event. They are hoping for that distant hope. And once in a while, in verse 4, it doesn't say how often, just in a certain season, that angel would come, the water would be stirred, the rush would take place, and one would be healed. Now in verse 5, it says there was a certain man. And this man had an infirmity for 38 years. It doesn't say he's been at the pool the entire time, but he's been in need the entire time. 38 years have transpired, and this man has continued year after year to hope for deliverance. And he's there at the pool waiting for the stirring of the water once again. 38 years he's been in this condition. And while he's waiting at the pool, I sure do like verse 6. The Bible says, Jesus saw him. Aren't you glad Jesus saw you? Amen. Aren't you glad there was a day when you were hoping against all hope and Jesus saw you and Jesus did something about it? This man laying there at the pool, and this is really the first understanding we have that Jesus came to the pool, but Jesus did in fact go there first, not to the feast, and he saw this man. In fact, I'll tell you this, he went there for that man. He knew that man had been there, and he went there for that man. He cared enough. He did not go to the feast, he went to the pool. And when he got there, he saw that man. And in verse 6, he says to him, it says he knew that he had been a long time in that case, and he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? You might say, well, of course the man would be made whole. But I found out something. There are a lot of people in this world that have simply lost sight. We knock on their door, we come to them, and we try to give them the gospel, and they're not interested in being made whole for some reason. Maybe they're clinging to something else. Maybe they found some other religion and they're hoping in that. But I want you to know something. In spite of all the people who were at this pool that did not get healed, and there were a bunch of other people there, in spite of all those folks, Jesus saw the one. He saw that man. He saw you and I, amen? And maybe somebody else says, nope, I'm not interested. Nope, I don't want religion. We were knocking doors this week, and one fellow said, you know, there's already been somebody here this week, so give me the pamphlet and go on your way. I don't want to talk to you. All things being equal, unless something happens in that man's life, he's going to step into eternity, into a place called hell, the Bible says. And remember that not once, but twice in the same week, God sent someone to him, and he sent them away. But I know there are a lot of people like that, but there's still that one, that somebody that wants to know the truth. Jesus saw that one man. He says, wilt thou be made whole? And look at verse 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. What he says is, I know I'm in the right place. I know that angel's going to come. But you see all these people around me? Some of them are faster than I am, and some of them are stronger than I am, and some of them are closer to the pool than I am, and I cannot help myself. Now think of how sad that is. He's there at the pool, but he really understands there's no hope he's going to get to the water first. He's there close to the place of deliverance, close to the place of hope, but yet hopeless. Folks, Jesus cares for the hopeless, amen? Even though this man could not save himself, Jesus still loved him and still cared about him. The man says, sir, I have no man. There's no one to help me. There's no one that can get me to the water in time. While I'm coming, he says, another steppeth down before me. It almost sounds like it's happened before. He saw the water troubled, and he struggled as much as he could to try to get there, but it was too late. And doesn't your heart go out to that man? Don't you think to yourself, I'd like to be there to help the man. I'd like to. He's obviously a fellow that's wanting to be delivered, and he realizes that he needs some help. I'd like to be the one to help him. My heart goes out to him. I'd like to think that if it was me in that day, that rather than going to the feast, I would have gone to the pool to help the man. But anyway, the fellow says, I have no man. There's no chance for me. I sure do like verse 8. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ can cut through the hopelessness just like that, can't he? Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. What a great day that is, amen? Don't you like those kind of stories? Don't you like to see it when someone that is hopeless suddenly has hope? When someone is defeated, suddenly the Lord comes and gives victory? When someone that had no other choice but to suffer and now the Lord spares them? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ can do, amen? And that's why he came to this world, was to save people like that. And just in a moment, just in a word, just simply by saying those words, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Then verse 9, the man was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. We're not going to go into the Jews and all that after that verse. That's enough for now to say, look what Jesus did for this one man that didn't have any hope. God gave him hope. This one man that couldn't save himself, God saved him. Jesus went to the pool to save this man. He saw the man. He sought a man who wanted to be made whole. And then that man that needed someone so desperately in verse 7, Jesus delivered him in verse 8. I asked the question at the beginning of the message, why would someone 13 years ago, some group of folks, some group of churches, I don't know the whole story. I am safely assuming that it was a missionary effort that some churches got behind somebody and sent people over here. Why would someone come 13 years ago and start Vision Baptist Church? And I think there's one word that has to be at least part of the answer, if not the entire answer, and the word is compassion. Let me talk about that just for a minute. Compassion. You know, each of us have a choice. We can go to the feast, or we can go to the pool. We can go to the place of rejoicing and enjoying the fares of the day and the food and the fun. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there is. When we spend all of our time at the feast and we never do go to the pool, the place where folks are suffering. I read that description several times at that very first church service. Again, I don't know the details. I don't know anyone that was there. But according to the record, 6 people found Christ as their Savior. Those are 6 people that were at the pool, waiting, hoping, not sure what was next. Not able to find the answer, and folks, someone brought them the answer, amen? But not just 6, because in the last 13 years, I'm sure there have been many more than that who have received Christ. Just in the last year or so, we've had a number of people receive Christ. Some very interesting stories that I won't take time to tell of people that got saved, in one case, very near the end of their life even. We have to remember something. The Bible says in Ephesians that the church is the body of Christ. Now, when you see that word church, don't let it confuse you. One thing that word always means is assembly. A group of folks assembled together. Vision Baptist Church is an assembly. Right now, I think we have about 52 adults on the church rolls and about 30 or so children. And so that is the official membership of the church. There's some other folks that visit, and we're glad to have them. But we are an assembly of born-again Christians that belong to this local church. And we are the body. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. In other words, we are that physical, if you will, element that does the work that the Lord Jesus Christ would have to be done. If the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world today, just as he did in Jerusalem, he would go to the pool. He would go to the folks that were suffering, and he would find those people that want to be made whole. They're willing to acknowledge they cannot save themselves. This man did so. Folks, aren't you glad you haven't got to work to be saved? Aren't you glad you haven't got to keep a list, a checklist all your life and just if you miss one of those one time, then you're out of salvation, is lost to you for all eternity? That's not the kind of God we serve. The Bible says that our God is a God that can guarantee us eternal life through Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The Bible is very clear. And those people at the pool are destined to die that way unless something miraculous happens. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You and I were at that pool one day. How did we get delivered? How did we go from there to being able to be called a child of God and to knowing that we have eternal life? And the answer is, somebody brought us the gospel. The man tells Jesus, "Sir, I have no man." There are people all over this world today that are waiting for someone to bring them the gospel. You say, "Well, Pastor, I told somebody and they didn't want to hear it." I understand that, but there are still people out there waiting for someone to bring them the gospel. And I have to ask you and I the question, as a local church, as people that God has given that privilege and that responsibility, is our mind, is our heart, is our effort at the feast, or is it at the pool? You know, many are never going to see the suffering masses. And you know, those people were right, just kind of tucked off in a corner. They're near the sheep market, so they're kind of out of the way, a place where folks wouldn't want to go. And there were all sorts of people at the feast that were having a great time that never even saw those people at that pool. I have to ask you the question, have you seen them? Do you know that they're there? Have you had a chance to talk to some of them, to hear their case and to understand how desperate they are? It's easy, if you're not careful, it's easy to walk through life spending all your time at the feast and missing this group of people just over here tucked away that need to hear the gospel and get saved. A lot of folks never did see them, but Jesus went and found them. The difference is compassion. Now, again, the idea behind compassion is very simply this. You've already experienced it, perhaps. You see the man. He's waiting. He's hopeless. He's desperate. He's suffering. He just needs someone to bring him, and yet there's no one there. And I say to myself, and you say to yourself, I'd like to help him. That's compassion. Compassion is caring for other people in their suffering, for wanting to do something about it. Let me tell you something. Compassion will override your appetite. The appetite will take you to the feast. Compassion will take you to the pool. The appetite will keep you from seeing the lost. The compassion will cause you to go find them. I ask myself the question sometimes, what would have happened in my life if someone had not had compassion? What would have happened in my life if there hadn't have been that one person, whoever it may be? And there were a number of folks instrumental in leading me to Christ, but one of them was a man that started a church. And because of that, long story short, I heard the gospel and I got saved. Somebody cared enough to walk away from the feast and go to the pool. Now here we are. We have a church, Vision Baptist Church, 13 years old today. And I have to ask our church this question. I have to ask you this question. You are the church. I have to ask you the question, what can you see? Do you just see the feast? Or can you see the people at that pool waiting? 6 weeks from now, we're going to have a missions conference, and Brother Nelson Doerr and another gentleman are going to show us some slides, probably, or some video, perhaps, of some people. I've been to Brother Nelson Doerr's ministry on many occasions, and you're going to see the pictures of some people, and they're just the same as the people here at the pool until someone goes and reaches them. I was in Nelson Doerr's ministry one night, and it was after church on a Wednesday night, and we were taking some people home, and they didn't have any other way to get to church except for getting a ride. And so these three or four elderly ladies got in the back of Nelson Doerr's vehicle, and I got in there with him, and we took off, and we drove to the end of the paved road. We got on a dirt road. We drove to the end of the dirt road. We got on a cow trail. We drove down the cow trail for a while. No lights, nothing. out in the middle of a field, there's kind of a lean-to, just some things put together. No electricity, no running water. The ladies said, stop, we live here. How did those ladies find Christ? Somebody cared enough. Somebody saw the need, and somebody went. Amen? That's why our church is here. I know you understand, and I understand, that when we step into eternity, it's going to be an eternity of feasting. There will not be any witnessing in eternity. There will not be any preaching to the lost in eternity. There will not be a pool of suffering people in eternity. By that time, the time will have been passed. But right now, you and I, as members of Vision Baptist Church, have a responsibility to go to the pool. Amen? Do you have compassion for the lost? We all enjoy a feast. But the people that need us aren't at the feast. They're at the pool. And here's an interesting thought. If one more person had gone to the pool, that many more, perhaps, could have been delivered. I don't know why the Bible doesn't give us an account of more people being saved there than this one, but praise God, Jesus went and saved the one. Amen? If our church has compassion, if Vision Baptist Church has compassion, then we as a church will go to the lost. We'll go to that pool, we'll find those folks, and we'll bring them to Christ. And I don't, you know me, I'm not a negative person, but I'm going to have to say this. If our church doesn't have compassion, I think the Lord will find one that does. But folks, let's have compassion, amen? That's why God put us here. And there are people out there that they're never going to get to go to the feast until they get spared there at the pool. Every single one of them needs a man to get them to Christ. We can either feast or we can follow the Lord. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment with every head bowed and every eye closed.